As that familiar music tells us, it's time once again to check in with our wonderful family of independent booksellers to supply our book picks for the week. If it seems a day early, it's because it is Tuesday. It just seems like Monday, and we haven't gotten into that yet. This morning, we welcome the Bennington Bookshop back to the fold. After spending lots of time reading dozens of books and studying up, owner Phil Lewis joins us this morning with a terrific list of books to share. Phil, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, everyone.
Great to have you with us. All right, let us begin. Where?
Okay, well, first up today, we've got Heartspring Mountain by the Vermont author Robin MacArthur. Heartspring Mountain opens in the immediate aftermath of Tropical Storm Irene. Swollen rivers and streams, shattered landscapes, and ruined homes. Bonnie, drawn by the irresistible forces of nature on display, wanders the rain-drenched streets of a small Vermont town. She is last seen standing on a bridge looking out over the roiling river below. Bonnie's daughter, Vale, long estranged from her mother, lives in New Orleans, where she works as a bartender. When Vale receives notice of her mother's disappearance, she immediately heads back to Vermont to look for Bonnie. Over the next few months, Vale searches for her mother in the town and in the surrounding hills and woodlands where she grew up and where her family has lived for generations. As she searches, she slowly comes to terms with who she is and what compelled her to leave in the first place. MacArthur deftly weaves the lives of three generations of Vermont women into this marvelous story about the search for meaning, set against the background of an isolated farm in the mountains. It's a story of loss and of hope. It explores the frictions within families, the hurt caused, and eventual healing. The book slips backwards and forwards in time, slowly revealing the secrets and tensions that bind the generations together. Heartspring Mountain is a treasure. It's absorbing, mesmerizing, and deeply felt. I didn't want it to end, but was compelled to read on to the satisfying conclusion. The characters are real and well-developed. The setting's evocative. I was reminded of Elizabeth Strout's writing at its best. Robin MacArthur lives and works on the Vermont farm where she was born. Her previous book is a collection of stories, Half Wild, published in 2016. Heartspring Mountain is her first novel.
It is Heartspring Mountain by Robin MacArthur. Okay, next.
Okay, next one is Warlight by Michael Ondaatje. Michael Ondaatje's latest novel, Warlight, is set in London, just after the Second World War. When their parents move to Singapore, 14-year-old Nathaniel and his 16-year-old sister Rachel are left in the care of a character they call the Moth. But who is the Moth? And how does he know their parents? And who are all the strange and suspicious visitors that descend on the house in the absence of their mother and father? Returning from school one day, Rachel takes Nathaniel down to the cellar to show him her discovery, their mother's trunk, which they'd watched her pack meticulously in preparation for the move to Singapore. So, where is their mother, and why has she left them behind? Angered by his apparent abandonment, Nathaniel starts skipping school to hang out with one of the visitors, a mysterious underworld figure known as the Pimlico Darter. The Darter's great claim to fame is that, despite running all kinds of betting scams at the greyhound tracks he visits, his name and mugshot do not appear in the police lists of known and wanted crooks that frequent the races. "Hold your cards to your breast," is the Darter's constant refrain, as if to reveal anything about yourself is to give the game away. The Darter eventually slips out of Nathaniel's life, clutching one last secret to his chest. The Warlight of the title refers to the muted lighting used to guide emergency services through the London blackout at the time of the Blitz. It's an apt metaphor for the book. Ondaatje's prose flows seamlessly, conjuring up vivid scenes and images that slowly reveal the dim secrets of the past and their impact on the present. Ondaatje draws the reader into the lighted corners, carefully unwrapping a secret here, a secret there, sweeping the reader along in the irresistible current of the story. This is a very satisfying read. And just to remind, Ondaatje won the Booker Prize for his 1992 novel, The English Patient, which is one of my favorite novels.
Again, the name of the novel is Warlight. Okay.
Okay, next up is a book review from Linda of Paula McLean's novel Love and Ruin. Paula McLean's latest novel explores Hemingway's relationship with his third wife, Martha Gellhorn, an independent, ambitious writer who would become one of the greatest war correspondents of the 20th century. In 1937, Gellhorn travels to Madrid to cover the atrocities of the Spanish Civil War and tell the stories of ordinary people caught in the horrifying conflict. She is determined to prove herself as a substantial journalist in a field dominated by men. Hemingway is also covering the war, and he and Gellhorn begin a passionate, unexpected affair. While reporting on the impending Second World War, they establish a home base in Cuba and eventually marry. Both of their professional careers blossom, but Gellhorn becomes increasingly concerned about being in the personal and professional shadow of Hemingway. She struggles to maintain autonomy while passionately devoted to a complicated writer and must eventually make choices that are sure to cause heartache. McLean is a master of historical fiction and weaves a rich, inviting story against the backdrop of war and conflict in the mid-1900s. For all who enjoyed The Paris Wife and Circling the Sun, you'll not be disappointed in this latest gift from Paula McLean.
Paula McLean's novel is Love and Ruin. All right, next up.
Okay, next up is The Order of Time by Carlo Rovelli. I enjoyed Carlo Rovelli's earlier book, Seven Brief Lessons on Physics, and I remember talking about it on this show last year sometime. So I was really pleased to find this latest book, The Order of Time. Did not disappoint. How could it when it poses such wonderful questions as, why do we remember the past and not the future? And do we exist in time, or does time exist in us? This is a lyrical exploration of some of those big questions and many more. It's a beautifully written book. Rovelli deftly pulls together thoughts and ideas from philosophy, literature, and science to create this masterpiece. He clearly is passionate about his field, theoretical physics, and writes in such a brisk and precise manner that you are quickly swept along. From the opening paragraph to the very last page, this book is a delight. There are so many thought-provoking moments. Did you know, for example, that time passes more quickly the higher you climb? Or that time stands still at the border of a black hole? Fascinating stuff. Please don't be put off by the subject matter. Although there are a couple of short technical chapters, this book is more poetry than science. Well worth the time spent reading, whatever time might be.
And it is Order of Time by Carlo Rovelli. Sounds fascinating. Okay.
Okay, next up is The Punishment She Deserves by Elizabeth George. This is Elizabeth George's latest Detective Inspector Linley novel, although Linley himself doesn't really make an appearance until about a third of the way in. The book is set in Ludlow, a small picturesque town in the west of England, and just as an aside, I grew up near there, and a lot of the places mentioned are familiar to me. Linda and I even stayed at Dinham Hall, the hotel in Ludlow, where Detective Inspector Linley and Detective Sergeant Havers stay when they are seconded to the local police force to help with the investigation. Anyway, back to the book. Budget cuts have been affecting the policing of the town, and the police station is now largely abandoned. The local deacon, Paul Druitt, brought to the police station for questioning about a rape, is found dead in the interview room. Everything points to suicide, but Detective Sergeant Havers is sent down from London to assist the local police force with its investigations. Her job is to make sure nothing has been missed, that all the T's have been crossed and the I's dotted. There is political pressure being applied to clear up the case and to exonerate Druitt. But Havers has her own demons to face. She's under a black cloud from an earlier misadventure and is threatened with a transfer to the north if she doesn't prove herself this time. Even though the case seems cut and dried, she feels she's missing something. The more she digs, the more she finds people with something to hide. This is mystery writing at its best. There are no red headings or deceptions. just a careful scratching at the surface, slowly revealing the details of the town, the lives of its inhabitants, and the particulars of the crime. It's a longish book, but deeply engrossing, a perfect companion for the weekend.
Well, that's a lot. Okay, The Punishment She Deserves, Elizabeth George. Okay.
Okay, and the last one I've got for you today is another Linda review. It's Grief Cottage by Gail Godwin. The locals on a small South Carolina island refer to an abandoned seaside cottage as Grief Cottage because a visiting boy and his parents disappeared 50 years ago during a hurricane. Marcus, an 11-year-old boy, is sent to live on the island with his artistic, reclusive aunt after his mother dies. To fill the long, lonely hours of each summer day, Marcus visits Grief Cottage to commune with the boy who disappeared 50 years ago. With each visit, Marcus summons the courage to get a little closer to the boy and closer to exploring his own experience with loss and death. This is a ghost story and so much more. It's an exploration of grief, remorse, loneliness, and human connection. Marcus and his aunt build a messy, imperfect life together that helps each of them envision a brighter future. Godwin is a master storyteller and cleverly weaves together stories that span decades and involve Marcus's great-grandparents, his grandparents, his parents, his childhood best friend, and the quirky island inhabitants. This is a truly satisfying read.
I love Gail Godwin so much, and this is a beautiful novel.
It is beautiful. So warm.
Really incredible. And it's called Grief Cottage by Gail Godwin and is now out. Anything else exciting going on at the bookstore?
Okay, well, I've just started reading The Overstory by Richard Powers.
Yes.
So I can't tell you much about it, but I've just read the first couple of sections and I'm hooked. I mean, I'm not sure where it's going, but the writing is incredible. So I'll report on this next time. New York Times bestselling author Eric Rickstad's new novel, What Remains of Her, will be released in July, and he'll be reading from his book at the bookshop on Thursday, August the 2nd at 7 p.m. And then Archer Mayer's is coming to Bennington on October the 1st. His new book, Bury the Lead, is out in late September.
Excellent. So a lot going on, a lot of exciting things.
Yep.
Not that I would expect anything else. Well,
thank you.
For more information on the Bennington Bookshop in Bennington, Vermont, you can go to their website, www.benningtonbookshop.com. Benningtonbookshop.com. Don't forget, you can also find the complete list on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Benningtonbookshop.com, wamc.org/roundtable. Phil Lewis, thank you very much for being with us. Always a pleasure. Have a beautiful summer, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.